You know, would someone just look at me and think that my color will not fit in, my accent might be a problem?
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into the Find Your Voice radio series on CKUW 95.9 FM. Find Your Voice is a radio series of half-hour episodes that presents the life stories of new Canadians. These stories offer a portrait of newly immigrated Canadians to help build understanding, demystify stereotypes, and break down preconceptions. In this radio series on CKUW 95.9 FM, you will hear the stories, the hopes, perspectives, and challenges of new immigrants from around the world. The Find Your Voice radio project was based on the new Canadian literacy project called The Past is Another Country at the Winnipeg Public Library. Find Your Voice received generous support by Astral Media and the Campus Community Radio Fund of Canada, CKUW 95.9 FM, and the Oral History Center at the University of Winnipeg. On today's episode, you will hear from...
Lucy Kaikai is from Sierra Leone. She's the mother of two children. She is also a writer and an artist.
When I participated in the Finding Your Voice program for new Canadians, I was at a, I don't know what to call it, but a place or a stage in my life where I had the opportunity to think a lot. I was home with my two children, about 5 and 1.5 year old. And I wasn't sure how the program would affect my life, but I had always been interested in writing. And this was the first opportunity to explore writing outside of academic fields, like writing assignments or doing projects. I was excited and eager to be with other writers or potential writers and new Canadians especially. We were given several topics to write about, to discuss, and to explore. And they gave me a wonderful opportunity to put down some of the thoughts that I had been having during this period that I was home with my children. One of the very first topics was just to write about ourselves. And I had to think about what I wanted people to know about me, what I wanted to share at that point in time. And I found out that there was so much that had been going on, and I was so limited by the few words that we had been restricted to writing down about ourselves. And so one of the things that I found important to note down at that point and now is that I come from a background of strong, open-minded, and educated people. My grandparents, ancestors had been pioneers and leaders in my country of origin, which is Sierra Leone in West Africa. And they had passed down a lot of that to us. So even though we were never wealthy, but we were taught to value education and to be strong in pursuing our goals and to always do our best in life, in whatever we are doing, whether it is sweeping our yard or writing an exam in school. I also wanted people to know that when I came to Canada, I had to rebuild my life because there were a lot of differences and changes from what I had known and been used to. It is interesting that when you come here and you have enough food to eat, a place to live, and every basic comfort that a human being should have. Other issues and other problems rear up their heads and you have to address them. Where I'm from, you worry about finding food and making sure the shelter you have stays over your head, and other things seem not so important in comparison. And so we had to deal with adjustment to the weather, to isolation and loneliness, and the issue of people not knowing you and being a visible minority for the first time in your life. I had come here with my credentials, my hopes and dreams, and I got many slaps in the face when I was told I had to get recertification and that I might not succeed here as a teacher. And so I had to deal with those setbacks. Luckily, I was able to find the right kind of people to work with who gave me the hands up to be able to overcome some of the stereotypes and difficulties that other people had held up against me. It was not easy. I remember at some point I thought that I would rather go back home and, as it were then, continue dodging bullets and farming to get enough to put on my plate rather than work in Subway when I have a license to teach here. I had gone to a couple of settlement agencies and asked for help to get back into teaching, and I had been turned back or refused the help that I asked for because several people just looked at me or heard my accent and did not even think that I would have a chance to succeed here as a teacher. They did not look at my grades in university, they did not look at my testimonials and what had been said and written about me. They did not offer me any help with what they thought I lacked, whether it was confidence or better clothing or English classes. They just turned me away and gave me other options, like working in a childcare facility or a job in Subway. But unfortunately or fortunately, I couldn't afford to buy a ticket to go back home, so I was forced to stay and deal with the situation. And during that process, I met another group of people in a program which was designed to help war-affected youth. It was a program offered by the Salvation Army's Multicultural Family Center, and they had a holistic program that was tailored to the needs of war-affected youth who had just migrated to Canada. And through that program, I was able to overcome some of the barriers and get enough confidence to go through with my recertification and at some point to get back into the field of teaching. And I worked as a substitute teacher successfully for several months. Thank you. I have two children, and when people see us or when I am with them, we go out, people are surprised or express their surprise that they are so well behaved or that they seem to be so intelligent. And sometimes I wonder why. Is it because I am black? Is it because I am a single mother? Is it because we seem to be poor? Because I wouldn't expect anything less from my children, and I bring them up with expectations that they should be well behaved as best as children can be. And I homeschooled my daughter for a year, and currently I'm working on my 3-year-old son. So to me, I am surprised that people are surprised that they are, as I said, well-behaved and bright children, because it is what I expect. But at the same time, it makes me stop to think, like, these are some of the biases that I faced with trying to get back into my field of teaching, or when I get on the bus and I sit down and my seat is the last to be filled, and nobody wants to sit beside me because I am black, or I might have a bad smell because I use different spices to prepare my meals. And it does make me wonder how far these biases are taking, that if I apply for a job with about 8 years of post-secondary education with excellent credentials and whatever else, and a white Canadian with 4 years of university education and no experience and average credentials, would this same thing stand in my way of getting hired? You know, would someone just look at me and think that my color will not fit in, my accent might be a problem, that I might come to school smelling like onions, that they saw a black man on TV who shot someone somewhere, so I might be related to that person, and so they will not hire me because of these fears and prejudices. But I realize that I have this hurdle that as long as I am here might never go away. One of my great-grandfathers, Daniel Flickinger Wilberforce, had been working with some of the very first missionaries that went to southern Sierra Leone. And he had gone back with them to the U.S., to, I believe, Ohio, and he had studied there and married there, and after having his children, the whole family moved back to Sierra Leone to work as missionaries. And so they started schools and churches. And so Lucy Wilberforce, one of his daughters, who I am named after, continued working as a teacher, as a missionary. And her son, Frank John, who is my mother's father, was also a religious minister and continued serving in that position until his death, shortly after I was born. My father was a teacher, my mother was a teacher, my aunt. And yes, that has been passed down to us. Strong value for education, for learning, and for striving to be the best that we can, always. We were also brought up to have a strong faith in God and His ability to make things possible that seem impossible. I have seen a lot of family and friends just give up and settle for jobs and a status in Canada that is far below what they were back home. And for me, that just wasn't it. I wasn't content working in Subway. I did not want to be anything. And not that I look down on people working in Subway, but you don't go and work in Subway after you've gone to university to study to be something that you've been dreaming about all your life to become, and there is a chance that you can get a job in that field. It's just because people think you are not what you are. So I have a silent or a strength, a subtle strength in not giving up, that I'll show you my papers, and if that doesn't help, I will ask people to write about me, and if that doesn't help, I will not give up. I don't know. I guess it comes from just having a faith that God will work things out, and this is what I am, this is what I'm capable of doing. I want to do it, and you have to believe me. You have to give me a chance that you will be happy if you put your faith in me. I have overcome a lot of difficulties, and it's just having come through that also that I can overcome these hurdles as well. I have hope because when I started working as a substitute teacher, you know, after being told that there's no way I'm going to make it here as a teacher, better go work in a daycare. When I started working as a substitute teacher, I started to show myself, and the principals, other teachers, vice principals, started to realize that, I guess, she might be black, she might not smell so nice, she might have an accent, but she has proven herself to be a capable substitute teacher. So I kept getting calls from schools that I had worked in, calls to return, and so I have hope that it might not be as easy as the white Canadian. It might take more time, but after a while, people will realize that I have a lot to offer, or even more to offer than most people. And so I don't see the future as bleak as when I first arrived here. I do have hope that there are people out there who will give me a chance once they see that I have something more to offer, above average. I would like to add that being part of the Finding Your Voice program was such an enriching experience for me, because it gave me an opportunity to start to document all these thoughts that I had been having for such a long period of time, and to find a venue to express myself, and to meet with other people who are in similar situation, and it has served as a channel to get to meet Winnipeggers who are more open-minded and have faith in immigrants.
You've been listening to the Find Your Voice radio series on CKUW 95.9 FM. Find Your Voice is a radio series of half-hour episodes that presents the life stories of new Canadians. These stories offer a portrait of newly immigrated Canadians to help build understanding, demystify stereotypes, and break down preconceptions. The Find Your Voice radio project was based on the new Canadian literacy project called The Past is Another Country at the Winnipeg Public Library. Find Your Voice received generous support by Astral Media and the Campus Community Radio Fund of Canada, CKUW 95.9 FM, and the Oral History Center at the University of Winnipeg. Find Your Voice was produced by Janine Legal, Naina Singh, and Scott Price. Special thanks to all the volunteers who contributed their stories. This could not have been done without you. Thank you.